Today I'm going to come to you out of a story in the Old Testament, and it's kind of a well-known story. And I want you to look at that word up there, nevertheless, because this is a pivotal word in this story. And so many times in our lives, we get to the brink of realization of blessings, and then this word comes into our lives, nevertheless. And this is a sad story. I'm just going to prepare you. But it is a story eventually that is good, happy, okay? Realization's there. But this is a lesson for us, and I thought it was a optimal time here at today's turning of the calendar, okay? Nothing magical is going to happen at midnight. I'm probably going to be asleep, I just tell you, okay? I'm thankful that I'm not the youth pastor here that has to be here at midnight, all right? But nevertheless, in the word that comes in this story, it's a paramount, pivotal moment in the history of the world. Okay, so I just want to prepare you for that. This is the story of the Israelites. So God has blessed them; He's given them the promise of the promised land. All right, He sent Abraham there. And then they've gone down to Egypt to escape famine and drought. They get enslaved there when there's too many of them. Spend hundreds of years in enslavement. And then God sends Moses as his mouthpiece and tells them, let him go. And then Pharaoh resists. And then God plagues Egypt 10 times. And then Pharaoh finally resists. He lets him go. And you know the story, they get out towards the Red Sea. Now what's going to happen? We're landlocked. And Moses, through the power of God, divides the Red Sea. And the Israelites walk across on dry ground. And they get to the other side in safety. And not far behind them is the Egyptian army. And they get out into the middle of the Red Sea. And then God collapses the Red Sea on them. Utterly destroys the army. Then he sends them out. And when they need food, he provides manna from heaven. When they need water, he draws water from rocks. He gives them quail from the sea. He just continually blesses them. He reads the covenant that he made with their forefathers and just continually blesses them. And now we're at the point in the story where they are at the very brink of entering the promised land, the realization of the promise so many generations ago. They're at the brink of stepping foot into the promised land to claim what God has promised them. It is the promised land. So they're at the very brink. They're at the threshold of the doorway into the promised land. And all they have to do is just collectively come together, just like they did so many times before when they all stepped out into the middle of the Red Sea as it was being held up. And they stepped across on dry ground and walked to safety. All they have to do is break that threshold as a nation and go in and claim what God has promised them. So that's where we are in the story. And we're in Numbers 13, Numbers, the chapter 13. And it says there that the Lord spoke to Moses. And he says, all right, send some spies into the land of Canaan. All right? From each one will be from the head of each family. So the 12 tribes each will pick a leader, they'll go forth, and they will be the spies that go into the promised land, okay, to do a reconnaissance mission, to go in there. So then Moses, okay, he tells them, he brings the spies together, and this is what he tells them, go up from the south, and once you go all through, up through the mountains, go into the land, okay, I want you to see if the people who dwell there, if they're strong people, or if they're easily conquered. There's a lot of them, or if it's heavily populated, okay, whether they live like in camps, or if they live in forts and in castles and strongholds, okay, if it's a good land or a bad land, if the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees or not, all right, there's places to hide and all that stuff, and I need to send you with good courage, so be strong, have good courage, and go, all right, and this is the time when the fruit should be at the optimal picking. So hey, bring us back some. Let's see what's going on in there, okay? So bring us back some samples of what's going on inside this promised land, all right? But go with courage and do your job. So that's what he tells them. And then they went up, just as they were told. They went all through. They could have written Zappos or whatever it is. They could have filled out the book to tell you what sites to see, where not to go. They went all throughout. They went through all the villages and everywhere. And then they came out of the valley of Eshkol, and they cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. And it was so large, the cluster of grapes was so large that they had to put it on a pole, and two guys carried it on their shoulders out of the land of Canaan. Okay, that's how fruitful the land was. And they also brought back some more of the fruit, just a very fruitful land. It says that they returned from spying. They spent 40 days there, all right? And they departed, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel. And then they showed them to bring back the word and showed them the fruit that they had picked. And this is what they said, okay? This is what they said. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. So large, the cluster is so large that two grown men had to carry it on a pole over their shoulders. It's how fruitful the land is. And then I want you to take note of that word right there. Nevertheless. Now you hear the negative. Hear the negative. Hear the doubt. Hear the fear. Hear the uncertainty. You hear it? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in this land, they're strong. The cities are fortified. And there's a lot of people that live there. They're big cities. Okay? And we saw the descendants of Anak there. All right? That you'll understand that here in a minute. All right? So they tell them this. But then Caleb, one of the spies, stands up and says, hey, let's go all at once. Let's just go in and claim what God has promised us. Let's go. God has promised this. Let's don't give in. Let's don't say the word nevertheless. Let's just go in and claim what God has promised us. And then it says there that the others, there were 10 others that stood up and said, we are not able to go up against these people. They will defeat us. They are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report about the land that they had spent 40 days in, taking notes, bringing fruit out of, looking and spying on. And they said, the land which we have gone into as spies, it devours the people that live there. All the people there are of great stature. They are strong. They are people that we cannot go up against. They were giants. They are people from Anak. They are giants. Okay, descendants of giants. They are huge, enormous people of great strength and power. In fact, we felt like grasshoppers there, and we looked like grasshoppers to them. We cannot beat these people. We cannot go into this land. We will go there with utter defeat, just looming over us, and can't do it. We cannot do it. Okay? So then all the people came together, and they lifted up their voices, and they cried and they wept that night. They actually cried tears because the dream has finally been killed. The dream is over. You see, they said the word nevertheless. They gave into that word nevertheless. And it says there that they said, if only, think about these words, what they're saying here. If only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness on the way out of Egypt. That would have been better than this. Why has the Lord brought us? And he has promised this, and he has built up all these expectations and said all this. And in fact, they were so, you know, the Lord went up in a cloud in front of them. He was visible to them, and he protected them. And it said that now we go in and we get to the up to the brink and the threshold of the promised land. And now we send spies in, and they come back and they give us this report that we can't win. Why would he do this to us? Why would he promise this, bring us up to the threshold, and then now, why wouldn't it just be better if we just stayed in Egypt and died as slaves? Wouldn't it be better that if we were just conquered out in the wilderness before we ever got here? Wouldn't that have just been better? And it says that, why would the Lord bring us here to fall by the sword and our wives and children become slaves and become victims? And would it not be better if we just turn around and go to Egypt? And that's where so many of us are today in our lives, that we have come to the point to where we say, what stands in front of me is too great. The journey that has gotten me here, it meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. And now I just think I would like to go back and become a slave to whatever it was that God brought us out of bondage from. Because of the word nevertheless. Nevertheless is not just a word. Nevertheless is a spirit. It's a spirit of defeat. It's a lie. Nevertheless is the ugliest word in this story because it changes everything. It changes the history, changes the world. So why did they allow themselves to give in to nevertheless? What went wrong? How could they have corrected this? How could they have made changes? And here's where we need to get to today, is that so many of us have been given a promise from God, and He's brought you out of bondage, and He's brought you out of terrible circumstances, and He's put you on a journey, and He has protected you and blessed you all through that journey. And now some of you are at the very threshold of achieving and realization of that promise that God has given you. But you're borderline on defeat, thoughts of fear and doubt. And taking that last final step to break that threshold and to go in and claim what God has promised you maybe might be too much right now. And here's where we need to get at. That's the individual part, okay? In the familial part. Now I need you to start. There's another part to that. We need to start thinking as a church. We've been very blessed in years and years back. God has brought us through some tough stuff. The journey has not always been easy. Paved with lots of tears and sacrifice and blood. And God is bringing us continually, and He brings us each and every year to the threshold of new realizations of blessings and of promises. And what we have to do is, as individuals and families, as a church, is we have to decide, are we going to get to the threshold and say, it looks great. Yeah, it looks great. But nevertheless, it'd be better if I just go back and get back into the bondage of what you brought me out of. That would be better. Or as a church, get up to where we are now and say, you know what? The future looks very bright. But the steps that we're going to have to take to continue to grow and continue to minister to people and continue to reach out to people in the appropriate ways may take a lot of faith, may take a lot of sacrifice, may take a lot of giving. And it might just be better if we just go back to what we were before. And you know what? I've seen churches do that. I've seen churches recoil back from the fear and the doubt, and they settle back into what is comfortable. And you can exist there. You can survive, sure. But is that really what life's about, just surviving? Or is it about flourishing in the promises that God has prepared for you? That's the question. So, number one, you could have read my mind, right? Where does a journey always start? The first thing you have to do is get your mind right. And you have to take on the mind of Christ. And here's where the story gets so sad, is that here's Moses, back when he's being called, he's back in the field being a shepherd. This is back when God's speaking to him through the burning bush. The voice of God is coming out of this burning bush with these words. And it says, so I have come down to deliver them, the Israelites, out of the hands of the Egyptians. And I want to bring them up to a land that is, remember, good? He said, find out the land is good. It was good. He said it way back then. It's large. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, they're all there. And who did they find? Who did the spies find when they went throughout this land? Guess who they found? The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They were all there, just like God said they would be. And God said, this is why I'm calling you, Moses, to start the journey so that in the end, you can step across that threshold and claim the promised land. And think about what God has brought them through. I went through it, but let's look at it here. Think about the blessings. He brought them out of slavery of Egypt. He sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians. They saw that with their own eyes. He provided the Passover. Every firstborn child in Egypt died, except the Israelites who put the blood on their threshold. He provided the Passover. He parted the Red Sea so that they could get to safety. He brought manna from heaven. He brought water from a rock. He gave them victory over the Amalekites. He reaffirmed the covenant that he made with their forefathers, and he provided them quail out of the sea. All while he hovered over them with protection. Now you would think that a people that had been blessed so obviously and so greatly would have the faith and determination to break the threshold and just claim the promise that God had given them. But the spirit of nevertheless had set in, just not on a few, but on the entire congregation of the Israelites. And it was detrimental. They did not have their mindset right. You have to start from faith. Every journey starts from faith. And here's what I mean by that. Every journey as a Christian starts from faith. Romans 1:17, for it is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You understand what that's telling you? That your life in Christ, when you are reborn in Christ, it starts with faith. Starts with faith. And all throughout your life here, you live in faith. And you will die in faith, knowing that God has promised you salvation. And this story is so foolish that to put it into proper perspective, it's almost as if you get to the end of your life and you're too afraid to walk into heaven. It's the promised land. It's there for us to achieve. But you have to have a life and a walk of faith to achieve the things that God has promised you. Start from faith. They started their mission in doubt. Every one of you, remember it said that the Lord said, bring spies together and send them out? Okay, now here's a little Bible tip on how to study the Bible. Sometimes where it says one thing, that's not the only point where it says it. Okay, so in Deuteronomy, it talks about this story there too. And in 1 and 22, we get the rest of the story, as the famous line says, okay? We get the rest of the story. And then it says that every one of you, this is Moses talking, came near to me and said, let us stand before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us that we should have spies go into the land and that we should find out what's going on there and all the cities and how they're built and how many people are there, what kind of people they are, okay? So that we know what of the things that we can expect, okay? So actually, the idea of the spies came from the people. So God wasn't the one who said, let us bring spies together. What happened was that the people came together and said, we got a lot of doubt here about stepping in there. How about we send some spies in, all right? Now God tells them how to do it. But the original doubt started in the people. So their mission actually started from doubt. God's promises are true. That's one thing that I need you to understand today is that God's promises are true. When he says something, it happens. And when God is leading you to a promise, I'm here to tell you that when you get up to the brink of that promise, don't recoil. Don't be afraid to step across that threshold because God's promises are true. Exodus 6 says, therefore, I say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will break the bondage of slavery from the Egyptians. I will rescue you from that. I will redeem you with the outstretched arm of great judgments against the Egyptians. I will provide plagues. I will kill the armies. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the slavery and bondage of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land I swore to you and to your forefathers. And I will give it to you as an inheritance, as your heritage. For I am the Lord. This is the promise of God. And yet, when it came time to achieve it, they did not think of the words of God and achieve the blessing that he had promised them. Fear and doubt entered their lives, and nevertheless, the spirit of nevertheless took over. And they were not able to step across the threshold to achieve what God had promised them. Because they were led by doubt. Now I want you to note, I want you to take note here of how Moses frames the mission that he gives the spies. He doesn't go in and say, reaffirm everything, right? This is what God said is going to happen. It's going to be a land of milk and honey. We're going to be able to take them. I need you to come back and tell us that. Reaffirm it. That's not what he asked them to do, right? So he actually, Moses' instruction places seeds of doubt within their mission. And it says there that I need you to go all the way up through there. Okay, I need you to find out if the land is good or bad. He already promised that it was good. And it says there whether the cities are like camps or strongholds. He already told them, yeah, there's going to be populous cities there. He already told them that. Whether it's rich or poor, he said it's going to be a land of milk and honey. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like a land where people live in a cereal land. That sounds awesome to me. Honeycomb. Remember that commercial where honeycomb that was flowing? What more could you want, man? Grab your spoon and go, right? And it says there whether there are forces or not. And then he says, be of good courage. Okay, you're going to need some courage in there. It's going to be a tough mission. And then bring you back. And here, and this sounds like something here. But you know where I kind of, just as a humble leader, I'm just going to, confession's good for the soul, right? Okay, so I'm going to confess to you a little bit here, is that when I read this and I put myself in Moses' sandals here, you know where I kind of get from Moses here? Is that he's saying, God spoke this to me in the burning bush. Told me this land's going to be so plentiful, lush. The fruit's going to be amazing. But before this mission starts, boy, I'd just really, really like to have some evidential proof that that's true. So while you're in there, because I'm not going to go in there, could you just bring me out some grapes, man, so I can just see what's going on there. And then I'll know. And it's kind of like when God's leading us up to things, what we want to say is, God, if this is really what I need to do, if this is what I'm supposed to do, strike lightning, not here, but right there. Strike it. And if God happened to have struck lightning right there, you know what we'd say? If that was really you, could you do it one more time? Because that's where we need to be in our life of faith so many times. And God brings us to a point of so many blessings. And what we end up doing is turning away from those blessings because we don't get the evidential proof that our eyes can see. And you know what Moses is saying? Now listen to this. Listen to this. Grace without the cross is not grace. Grace without Christ is not grace. Grace without the spilling of blood is not grace. That's cheap grace. And so many times in this life, we want cheap grace with no sacrifices, with little to give of myself, with no time, no effort. I just want you to give it all to me, God. And what he's saying there is, I want to taste Canaan land without actually having to go into Canaan land. And if you're honest with yourself today, so many of us want to taste heaven without actually taking the journey to get to heaven. That make sense to you? And that's where so many of us are today, is that we want a happy marriage, but boy, we don't want to have to do the work, have to have all that forgiveness. Marriage takes so much forgiveness, doesn't it? Especially if you're married to me. My wife's not here. Don't get an amen on that. But, oh, my Lord, I mean, think about all how she has to forgive me, all constantly show grace. I mean, if you're going to have a happy marriage and a thriving family, think of all the forgiveness and grace and mercy it takes to have that. If you're going to have a flourishing church that truly ministers to people, think about all the grace and the forgiveness and love that it takes to go out and be a flourishing church. But so many of us want to taste the benefits without ever having to do the work. You ask God, and I was right there with him, a 20-year-old, you know, you want to be hired? Yeah, what position do you think you're good for? I don't know, assistant vice president sounds good to me. All right, great. You just skip 27 levels there, you know. I don't want to have to put in the work. I just really like the title and the paycheck. That's where we are. We don't want to have to put in the work. And if I'm honest with what I read from Moses there is that he's really wanting the evidential proof of the promised land to taste Canaan land without ever having to go in it. So what happens? We have a missed opportunity here. God gets really, really mad. In fact, he talks about wiping the Israelites off the land. Moses intercedes. He says, don't do that. All the people who know that you're our God, you look really bad. Okay? So he says, all right, so here's what's going to happen. Anyone over the age of 20 will not see Canaan land. Done. Except the two that did not give the negative report, Caleb and Joshua. They will enter. What about those 10 spies that gave the negative report? God plagued them. He plagued them. And then he talked about how disappointed he was. And the Israelites felt bad. They felt chastised. They felt the disappointment from God the Father. And just like little children, put yourself in this position. Just like little children, you know what they do? They all come together and say, okay, we'll go. All right, that's what we're supposed to do. We'll go. Don't get mad. We'll go. And then they all got together, but they didn't go with Moses, and they didn't go with the Ark of the Covenant, and they went into the land up through the mountains, and the Amalekites and the Canaanites see their camp coming, and guess what they do? They go down and tear the smithereens out of them and send them on their way. Send them back, as far it says, to Horma, which is translated into utter destruction. That's what that word means now, the name of that city. Utter destruction. God wants actions of faith. When God asks you to sacrifice, he's not doing it to be a mean God. He's asking you to sacrifice so that you can walk out in faith and then be blessed as you walk in faith. God asks us to minister. Sometimes he asks us to minister to people that are hard to deal with. Sometimes we don't want to mess with them. Sometimes they're not grateful. Sometimes they're unlovable. You know what God asks you to do? Go minister to those people with love, forgiveness, and mercy and grace. Just like I dealt with you when you were disobedient, and I gave you grace, mercy, and love. And so many times God brings us up out of bondage, breaks the chains of the things that have been hampering us for years, puts us on a journey up to our ultimate blessing, blesses us, protects us all the way through that blessing or that journey. And then when we get to the threshold, to the very door of entering into the realization of the blessing that God has promised us, has brought us to, we turn back and say, it would be better if I had never taken this journey and I was still stuck in my slavery. That is an awful, awful story. And you only get one shot at it. So many times we only get one shot at the ultimate blessing. Because sometimes when we come back, the opportunity is missed. So what I'm leading you up to is that the victory that God has promised us, it's already won. He tells us that, say this to the people, Israel, you're on the verge of battle. Battle not only through life, but with your sworn enemies, people who are taking up arms against you. Do not let your heart faint. Have faith. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble or be terrified because of the consequences, because of the fears and the anxieties that are presented to you. For he is our God. He's the one who goes with us, before us. And he will fight against your enemies and he will save you. And in the end, when we walk through that doorway, the blessing is there to claim. And what looks like insurmountable odds and giants becomes an easy victory. Because if God is for us, What can this world throw at us? So if you're dealing with a journey right now, and God's taking you on a path up to a promised blessing, don't turn back. Don't let the spirit of nevertheless set in to where the fears and the anxieties hit you. And you say, you know what? It would be better if I turned around and went back into the bondage that I already came from. And as a church, I'm telling you, we need to step out in faith and continue on the path that God is guiding and directing us on. And when we come to the threshold of decisions and it looks like tough decisions, sometimes we have to step out and say, this is what God is leading us to. Yeah, we have to be good stewards, responsible with financial and protection and safety of everything involved. Absolutely. But with God on our side, how can we fail? And God is not a God who takes you on a journey in vain up to the threshold and say, psych, you don't get this, you don't get this. That's not God. When God tells you this is the promise, guess what? That is the promise. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. 2017's in the rearview mirror now. 2018 is ahead of us. And I know some of you got some great big things going on in 2018 and right away in 2018. And you need some prayer. You need some guidance and direction and strength and some encouragement, because some of you are right up to the edge and the threshold of the blessings. And it's so easy sometimes to turn back and say, no, I'll just stay back here where I know I'm safe. And in the misery, I know sometimes the misery we know is more comfortable to us than the blessings that could be. So I need you to step out today. Come up. Let's throw it up to God and say, here we are at the threshold of these promises. And I need us to come together as a church so that we truly come together in one accord and one spirit, so that we truly understand the path and the journey that God's got us on, so that when we as a collective church get up to the threshold, we can say, we know that this is the promise and the great blessing that God has given us, and we can step across as a united church and go forward and continue to minister and do the work that God's got us on. Amen. I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning. Come forward. Let's lift everything up in prayer. If you're worried about yourself, your family, or this church, I'm begging you. Let's come forward and let's enter 2018 united as one family in one accord, one spirit, one blood, one salvation, one God. I open up the altars to you this morning.